Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome back to today's show. So before we get started with our today's guest and topic, just want to quickly plug our upcoming annual convention in Dallas this July. By the time you are listening to this, I promise you attendance is filling up rapidly and we are soon about to hit our cap for annual convention. So if you're listening to this, don't waste. Make sure you're there in Dallas this July for annual convention. It is the big show. It's one we look forward to all year with connecting with all our members and partners, a part of this great and wonderful community that we have. So please don't haste. Go to destinationsinternational.org to look at the event, look at the agenda, and make the decision to come join us. So hope to look forward to seeing you in Dallas. On to today. So for today's conversation and guest, it really is unlike one you've ever heard on our show before. And I'm not just simply talking about the who, the what, and the where of the story, all of which are great, I promise you, but really understanding what a good place to live is a good place to visit means to a destination few of us have been, something I know our guest hopes to change for us all. Oulu, Finland is really having a moment. And not just against the backdrop of the world, which includes sharing a border with Russia, being recently accepted into NATO, or even a brand new prime minister, all of which we're going to get into today. But we're talking how Oulu is pushing sustainability, happiness, and warmth to its residents and visitors alike. Please welcome to the show, YT from Visit Oulu. YT, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your kind words and introduction.
Absolutely. So very first question is if you would kindly please, YT is a little nickname for you, but actually, what would be your full proper name for the audience?
This is very, very difficult to pronounce, but let's go for it. Yrjö Tapio Kivisaari. All my friends here in Finland call me Yte, and my international friends call me YT by my first name initials. But my mother and father decided to put both of my grandfather's name together, and it is Yrjö Tapio. I'm the only person in the world with that name written in the same way.
It's absolutely incredible. Now, since you have almost three different flavors of your name, do you have a preference to one or the other?
Yeah, just YT. It's easy.
I can't argue with that. Everything's a good brand, a good story. So just for the start of the show, YT, would you mind just giving a little bit of introduction to yourself, as well as just a little bit of background of your destination organization, Visit Oulu?
Yes, absolutely. When I was a kid, I was into scuba diving, watching Jacques Cousteau and his adventures on TV. I was about 13 years old, I remember, when I thought that traveling the world and becoming a scuba diver is my biggest dream. I wanted to become an oceanographer and marry a biologist and study abroad. But those dreams didn't come true, but I still became a scuba diver. When I was 15, I started corresponding with the help of my mother with Jacques Cousteau and his teams. And it left an impact on me of understanding how big the world is and how connected we need to be with the nature and how important the actions that people take with the nature as they travel around the world are, and how we need to appreciate this planet that is the only planet that we've got. So as a scuba diver, I traveled the world, visited different kind of communities. It is a very social hobby in a way that you get to spend your days with people you haven't met before, and it is a fun hobby. So it left a specific impact on me. And when I finished my high school, I decided to join an international youth group, which is nonprofit from United States called Up With People. And I toured the world and lived in different kinds of communities. And I really, really felt that this is what I want to do in the future, to make people feel welcomed in the community. But it took me a while to actually find where I want to be. I have worked in several industries before, in banking, IT, wellness, and hospitality, working, opening hotels, running hotels. But marketing has been always near my heart. My daddy had a company called Kivisaari Marketing, and he pretty much marketed everything he could find. So I suppose it runs in a family in some respect, that marketing is something that is deep in our DNA, family DNA, and combining it with tourism marketing, it's been a dream come true. I've worked in tourism marketing in Lapland, in northern Finland. This is the place and home of Santa Claus, the reindeer, where hundreds of thousands of tourists visit every year to see the northern lights. My house in Lapland, when I used to live there, was under the northern lights. So almost every fourth night during the winter days, nights, you would be able to see the lights dancing in the sky. Oulu is by the sea. I came to Oulu for the first time in 2015 when I opened a hotel here. After spending a good time in Lapland, the COVID years sort of made me stop. It was a tough patch for everybody, but it was a little bit difficult for me as well. And from Lapland, I started missing the culture and the buzz of the city. And when the position of the managing director, CEO of DMO called Visit Oulu was opened, I applied, and here I am. I've been doing this job now for since 2021, August 2021. And now we are heading towards the cultural capital year, as Oulu will be capital of culture of Europe 2026.
What an incredible origin story, and just small amount of time that you've been doing this particular role, and how accomplished you've been in just the past 3 years. Besides being an accomplished scuba diver, I just want to congratulate you first and foremost on being named the Destination International Global Ambassador Tourism Industry, something you just received that past week. And again, I appreciate you mentioning just taking the position about 3 years ago, and how much you've sort of accomplished. I know you still have room to want to do in these past 3 years. I just wonder if you wanted to mention anything about the accolade and just what these 3 years have been like for you.
Well, in Lapland, I was in disaster control mode for the last years of working with my DMO there. Moving to Oulu has been a new era, basically. The DMO was established 2010, and it's a regional DMO, so it has 11 cities and municipalities, about 80 tourism companies connected directly to the company. Lots of stakeholders. When I came to the job, my first job was basically to figure out what kind of stakeholders and how many are there that I'm going to be working with. And roughly counting, I have about 200, almost over 200 stakeholders. Wow. That I need to be in touch with constantly as I work with this region. So it is a wonderful, wonderful thing that working with DI already in my previous DMO and current Visit Oulu has provided me a chance to get to know more DMO CEOs and staff around the world. Destinations International has become a home to me. The people have become my family. And to receive this kind of accolade from my peers and the people who have become to mean so much to me during these past years is a true honor. And I'm ecstatic. I've just come back from Frankfurt receiving the award in IMEX, and I'm still on cloud number 9.
Absolutely. Well deserved. I do want to talk a little about Oulu itself. I mean, you're mentioning, two things that just sound marvelous, both a destination that is both by the sea and has the ability in close proximity to see the Northern Lights, which is just incredible. But just for the audience, would you mind describing a little bit about the community of Oulu? And again, also in the context of the country and as Finland as a whole for the audience?
Absolutely. Oulu is an old city, and it is a very proud city with a history that is very, very diverse. It is a city with tar production. So in olden days, when ships still were made of wood and sailed the stormy seas, the tar from Oulu was the thing that made them stand the test of time and keep them floating as they toured the globe. So that is one of the things that made the city prosper and sort of became the DNA of all proud people near the sea, using and living by the sea, and being very inventful in a way that always thinking how in such harsh conditions, being in a cold area, being so near to the Arctic Circle, having the winter most time of the year, only few sunny months during the summer, how can it cope? And people here have been very resilient. They have been inventful. Nokia mobile phones that very many people still remember quite fondly. And the times when we used to text to each other by pressing the buttons many, many times to be able to form the words. Believe it or not, the first text message was actually sent from Oulu. That's what the story tells. So Nokia mobile phones have their R&D department still here in Oulu. We have also developed great products for wellness, for IT, for game industry. We have, I usually say that we have, this community is a very great community to invent things from thin air. And thus, we even sport the world championship of air guitar competition every year. so we even play guitar that doesn't exist. So I think that the people here are quite inventful. But also what I've learned is that these people love their country or their land very, very much. And when we've had some studies here in Finland, people in Oulu, they love their land and the communities the most. But they are also, the study says, the most critical people. Finland has been nominated the happiest country in the world now 6 years in a row. And somehow the Finnish people always, instead of having a big celebration, first ask, why again? How come we are so happy? Some people who know some Finns, they said, because you have such great drinking habits. but for me, it's about it's a stereotype. And it's completely, in my understanding, the connection that we have with the nature. We have about 300,000 saunas. We have summer houses by the lakes. We don't work around the clock. We know how to have our holidays. And we have tight communities, but they're very critical. So in a city like Oulu, which is a technology city, first and foremost, it is sometimes difficult to explain to the locals even that this is a beautiful touristic area. You just need to see the beauty of it. If you're watching at it too closely, you might just see the city and the technology. But this city is built in a way that you can move around it faster by a bicycle than a car. So, for example, I don't have a car. I use my bicycle to go to the meetings. And kids go to school during the wintertime unattended by their parents on their own by bicycle, even if it's minus 25 centigrade. So it is a northern city, it's a proud city, it's a technological city, but it's also a city that is very unlike any other cities in Finland. And the people and the community is a very, very proud community.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. It just sounds absolutely an incredible destination. I want to jump off a point you mentioned about, you know, the proudness of the land. When I saw you at CEO Summit in Victoria, you made this comment about your country, you know, saying, you know, in the past week, our country not only joined NATO, but I also have a brand new prime minister. And in so many words, you said, I'm returning to a brand new country different from when I left. I want to talk about those two specific things, but I wanted to start first with just as a person of a Finnish person, what has that decision been like and your thoughts on your country joining NATO in the sort of current world landscape?
When I was a child, I listened to my grandmother telling stories about the war with Russia and how difficult the relationship with between this huge neighboring country of ours we had. The politics for many, many years were all about working together with Russia, having the cooperation agreement with Russia, doing business with Russia. It was somewhat forced and somewhat also a good luck because the business brought prosperity to Finland as well. with the new government, with these elections, with NATO and everything, things will change and things have changed. I had a privilege of working myself in St. Petersburg, Russia for almost a year. I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the city and the art and the culture of St. Petersburg. And I loved working in hospitality in St. Petersburg. Thinking what has happened now and how this situation with the war has isolated Russians, what it's doing to Ukraine, it is very, very hard to see. And of course, I understand people are even thinking, is it safe to travel to Finland, having such a huge border with Russia? With NATO, I feel that we've sort of put our foot on the ground and saying that we have this border, we've defended it before, we've had difficulties before, not anymore. We are here, we are making our statement, we are choosing our alliances. And for people who choose war before peace, you know, this is not the time for us to be your partners, your friends. For the nation, we need to make this stand. But for the people of Russia, some of them not agreeing to this situation at the moment, I've sent my heartfelt greetings and hope that the situation gets better soon. But absolutely, NATO, I think that will enforce the fact that Finland is a safe country to visit. We don't feel the ripples of the war, except in a way that we've opened our arms and homes to the Ukrainian people who have fled the war. And of course, this affects us very, very deeply.
And the same week that this occurred, you also got a brand new prime minister. Would you mind just talking a little bit about that as well?
Well, our previous prime minister, Sanna Marin, she appeared to me was quite like a rock star a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
When I think about it, and especially when I've been traveling to sales workshops around the world, and especially as United States is one of the markets that I tend to, we often start our small talk by talking about our previous prime minister. And I think that she, in a way, was a good ambassador for Finland because she's young, she's a very good speaker, she is very honest in a way that she's not a typical diplomat, in a way that when often politicians open their mouths, you cannot understand what they said after listening to them for 10 minutes. Or she would just go in public and say, we don't appreciate what Russia is doing at the moment. They need to get out of Ukraine now. And this is not typical politician talk. I'm 56 years old. We have a huge age gap with this prime minister. I would have never imagined in my wildest dreams that politics would be made like this these days, but I have to, you know, salute her on her daring way of addressing very difficult issues very, very directly. And I think that this is something that has been really, really good for Finland as well.
So again, an incredible week. And when I heard you made that comment, I just thought, what must it be like? And you were out of the country too, just to think what that must be like to return back to this country that obviously is your home, but had two major shifts. Just an incredible story in itself. A little bit more about your destination and the Finnish people. You all have this concept of really combining warmth and roughness, whimsical, relaxed, and cheerfulness. And this is a term that does not exist in English, but you all call it peleka kokona, which apologize to my Finnish listeners here. Would you mind explaining a little bit more about this visual identity for the brand for your city?
This is something that we have been working a lot with, actually understanding what the community feels that tourism should be all about. As I mentioned before, the DMO and the tourism promotion started 2010. And even last year, people were still asking, like, why is Oulu so good for tourism? What do we have here? And we jokingly decided to turn these questions into a campaign on its own. So the first phase was it that on our webpage, instead of just listing all different kinds of excursions and sites and things to do here, we made a big headline saying, there's nothing to see here. Welcome to Oulu. And this sort of raised the eyebrows of the community and say, why would you say there's nothing to see here? Because you have told me all the time, why would you market Oulu for tourism? Because there's nothing to see here, was my response. And they started thinking that actually, yes, why do we say that there's nothing to see here? Because there's so much to see here. But often when you're too close to things, you don't see them mm-hmm. from the distance that you should see them from. So then we decided with our advertising agency to launch a campaign where we involve the community to tell us as DMO what we need to tell the rest of the world about the city of Oulu. So we made a challenge. And you did a very good job trying to pronounce this Finnish word. Thank you very much. But with the local dialect, it goes like pelekääkönä. And that means basically we give you a dare. It's a dare to come and experience it. If I would translate it directly, which I really can't, it is like, are you afraid? But it's a dare. And I would rather translate it in a way, I dare you. That's the actual purpose of it. So we have different kinds of dares to do typical things that only people in Oulu do, living here in the Arctic in the dark most of the year, but then enjoying the summers with the nights when sun never sets and the nature being so close, and us doing a little bit quirky things like playing the air guitar, as I mentioned before. So we are now inviting the world to experience these quirky things. And now we're in the phase that we got 120 quirky suggestions from the community, what they love about this city and what they love about this area. And now we're having a little vote where the best of them will be selected. And after that, we will cast challenges for people, for tourists from Finland and around the world to come and do these little dares. It might be like eating the local pizza, which is the recipe. You might not want it, but you might want to taste it at least once. To eat that in the middle of the night the white night during the summer near the harbor on the marketplace, listening to the seagulls still screeching in the sky, although it's midnight. So this is kind of a dare that people suggested. And we want people to love this city and be proud of the city, because if they cannot be the ambassadors of tourism, if they don't believe what we are marketing, how we are doing it, they will not be the people who are banging the jungle drum and telling about the city to their friends and their friends and their friends. So I think this is the only way to make the community really understand what a treasure of a destination we have. And it's been received so, so well. And at the moment, looking at the votes being cast, I think we're going to be having a very unique destination with great dares. So when I have the best dares, I will make sure that I will send it to you guys, and then you choose the ones that you want to do, and then we welcome you here and host you and show us our hospitality, but also our quirky side.
Absolutely incredible. So not just this brand that you all have started and launched, you've also begun the work of developing a tourism master plan for Visit Oulu. What's that process been like for your destination?
It's been quite a process. We have all the 11 areas working together, but mainly the communities that have been closely working with Oulu and are nearest to us. So we gathered everybody together and we're asking the same questions. What do you see when you look around? What do you feel like? What you taste? What you smell? What are the things that make you proud? What are the things that would be our unique selling points that you would believe in? And I think that this is sort of a quest for identity as a tourism destination from a city that used to be the tar city, the technology city, but is surrounded by beautiful nature. So where we started from led us to understand that Oulu is a hub. We are cross-border destinations because Sweden is only 1 hour and a half drive away from us. So, for example, if I would go to IKEA, I would take a bus and go to Sweden and come back with my shopping or rent a car, as I don't own a car. So Sweden is very near. We are sat by the coast, so and we have the second busiest airport of the country. but only domestic flights, no direct flights from anywhere from Europe, let alone from the rest of the world, only operated by our national airline, and mainly business trips for the airline, but we still have a big number of leisure travel. So we started looking who's coming here, why they are coming here, who would we want to welcome here. So basically choose the target markets and what kind of tourists we would like to invite. And that started us working with the master plan and led us to understand that our beautiful city and the region is a unique destination in a way that nowhere in Finland can you find a city and a region that is by the sea, has the archipelago, has the river basin, has the forest, the lakeland, city, culture, history, plus a fell like they have in the northeast Lapland. So from about 2 hours from the destination, you can experience the whole geography and culture of Finland. So come to one spot instead of crossing the whole country, you can have a huge experience of what Finland looks like, feels like, tastes like, and then even take a cross-border trip to Sweden. And if you want to take it a little bit further, few more hours and you are already in Norway. So our location is our unique selling point and our history is very unique. And we are a foodie culture, so we've developed something that's called Arctic Food Lab here. And this invites people to taste the Arctic food, Arctic herbs and spices that we make here and experience Arctic coast as it should be experienced.
Well, actually, it's probably one of the best sales pitches I've ever heard on this podcast. So thank you for sharing all that. Part of kind of the final question I had for you in this conversation is I want to connect a thread through almost every single point you've made. Is I've heard you talk about your relationship with nature. I've heard you many times about not owning a car and a bike and what that means to you. As I've heard you talk about sustainability and stewardship on many, 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 many of these stages of ours. I just want to know, for your perspective, what does sustainability mean for your destination organization and the people and the country of Finland?
It starts with the community. It is all about the well-being of the community. And as you started this podcast, it is when it's a good place to live, then it's a good place to visit. So it means the balance with being the culture, the economy, the nature, and so many things. Sustainability is very difficult to determine for a layman in a way. If you're looking at it from all the different kinds of certifications, point of views, SDGs, and so forth. So there are so many levels to understand. But what I usually say, to understand it in a way that how you want to treat people, how you want to be treated, how you want to treat the planet, how you want your children to live, in what kind of environment, community, and planet. And also to understand that we in tourism, we are doing a business. So it's also about being a profitable through profitable industry through tourism and being sustainable. So people, planet, profit, the triple bottom line means very much to me to make the balance throughout all of these different kinds of certifications and how to communicate it. It can be a little bit tedious and difficult. It is something that we work very, very hard here in Oulu. Visit Finland has established something called Sustainable Travel Finland certification. You need to be certified by some official organizations like DMO Oulu, Visit Oulu. We have a certification from WWF, World Wildlife Fund. It's called Green Office. So we are very careful how we recycle, how we travel to work, how we switch on, switch off the lights, what kind of food we eat as a little work community. So I always say, when you're thinking about sustainability, start from yourself. Don't, if you're running a DMO, if you're working for a DMO, you need to lead by example. You need to figure out what it means in your own life to be sustainable, because you cannot aim for a certification. You cannot drive your organization, let alone your community, towards sustainability if you are not walking the talk yourself. And I think that here in Oulu, we are walking the talk. It is a long walk. It has hurdles and obstacles. as very many companies look at the profit first and then not understanding that being sustainable and putting money to become a sustainable organization actually becomes profitable and is profitable in the long run. So I think what we need to do is to talk about it constantly and not make it scary. Make it very easy to understand. Give very, very simple examples, whether it's nature or culture or economy, what you can do to become sustainable and help each other. And then to really understand that much of the issues that are in the world are because of poverty. And when there is poverty, then we will have huge sustainability issues, huge issues with carbon emissions and so forth. So we need to look further than our own community. We need to open the world. So I always say that what I would like to create is a lab as a tourism community where people from around the world can come from maybe countries where you don't recycle, where you don't care about carbon emissions, where you don't care about where you throw your garbage. Come here and see what we've done. Go back home and make an impact.
Well said, and a sort of a beautiful end cap to our conversation. YT, thank you again so much for joining us today on the show. If people want to get in touch with you and find more about your destination, where can they go?
Well, you can come to Twitter. I'm there by my last name, after an @. You can come to LinkedIn. I'm there by my full name. You can visit our www.visitoulu.fi website, or come and see our wonderful whole region at our pohjolaroute.fi website. So, and I'm out there visiting different communities around the world, participating in Destinations International activities. So we see somewhere. Just come and say hello and let's have a wonderful talk.
Absolutely. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and YT on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or checking out our content throughout the advocacy section at our website or speaking at whatever upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.